Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Magic Johnson, you know, Magic is a fun follow on Twitter, and he was at it again. I don't know if it was today or last night when he did last night. Yeah. Rob G, read to us what the awesome, legendary Magic Johnson tweeted.
I mean, it's kind of blasphemous, but we'll go ahead and read it anyways.
Why are you dissing Magic? He's a Laker. He's Mr. Laker.
Okay. Here's what Magic Johnson, Magic Johnson on Twitter last night. Quote, "It's hard to deny Steph Curry from being the NBA's MVP. He is the number one, number two, and number three option for the Warriors, and he's still all caps dominating." 2 exclamation points. Magic Johnson.
Did that come after they won the game or no? No? Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
You want at that?
No, I'm just.
I agree with everything he said except the first line.
To me, Magic is this is the kiss of death for Magic. Every time Magic does this and proclaims it, go the other way. Lonzo Ball's jersey is going to be hanging from the rafters at Staples Center. He's going to replace him as the all-time great Laker point guard. Remember that.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Didn't exactly come to pass.
No, but we could go on and on and on. And this, to me, is your typical living in the past. Steph is playing great. That's not even the issue. They're under .500. If they lose to Philadelphia today, Chris, they got a game tonight. There'll be 2 games under .500. They're at the 9th or 10th spot for the playoffs in the Western Conference. That's not an MVP season. Has he played well? Yes. But this whole notion, it's like it's not a lifetime achievement award. It reminds me of the LeBron thing a year ago.
Really? Where,
yeah, a little bit.
I mean, LeBron, they were at least winning.
No, I know, but it was like a narrative. Like every couple of weeks, like the Steph group comes out. He has a couple of big games, Chris, and then they come out. Then they disappear for 10 days or whatever. Then he has a big game, and it's like, yeah, Steph, he's in the conversation. He's got to be in a conversation now. All I'm saying is I don't believe Steph Curry's the MVP of the league. I think that it's not just about compiling numbers. It's about winning as well, and that's not what they're doing. And they might – if he wins an MVP on a team that doesn't make the playoffs, I got to tip my cap to him that he has poisoned the Kool-Aid – fooled everybody. It would be mind-boggling, or it would be an indictment that they don't want to give it to Jokic or somebody else. I mean, that would be the only way, but I don't see it. I think this is a total reach for a team. Now, if they go to the 4th seed and they win their last 15 games, Chris, and make a run, and Steph is playing great those games, you know, we could reevaluate and change that story. But I'm talking about right here, right now. Magic said, how can you deny him? Easily. Easily.
Rob, and I have nothing but love and respect for Magic Johnson. Loved working with him on the NBA Countdown show.
Oh, I remember.
It was actually about
10
years ago. It was actually about 10 years ago, and I loved it. It was great. Got to pick his brain in between, you know, hits. You know how it is, sitting
there. You should have let it heal
watching games together.
Go ahead.
Alex.
What?
I was looking for the everything's not funny.
All right.
But this, a tweet like this makes you say, where's Magic been? Like, Rob. Since 1981, since the media began voting for MVP in 1981, only twice has a player outside of the top 3 seeds won MVP.
Russell Westbrook, the year he averaged a triple-double, the first year. He's about to do it again for the fourth time. And Moses Malone, way back in the early 80s. And so Magic knows, like, you got to win. And Steph, where I disagree with you, Steph is not just compiling numbers. Magic was absolutely right about what he is doing. What he is doing is absolutely phenomenal. He's getting, we had Kerry Kittles on the show. He said the same thing. He's being double and triple teamed at times, but mostly double teamed. Every dribble handoff, every pick. And if you look at a lot of his shots, I mean, there's actually good defense. And he's just making tough shots over outstretched arms. It's unbelievable what he's doing. And they actually got a pretty good rep with him. They're 27 and 22, but without him, they're 1-7. That's one reason they're the ninth seed. But, and I got to throw this out, Rob, I don't know if you've heard this yet, but this is absolutely phenomenal. This week, Steph Curry has three games with 10 or more three-pointers made. Two of them he had 11, and one he had 10. The only other player in history to have more than three games with 10 or more three-pointers in his career is Klay Thompson. Klay's got five. Steph's got 20, and no one else has more than three. James Harden, Damian Lillard, J.R. Smith, they've got three in their career. So in 1 week, he has equaled what all but one other NBA player in history has done. And I get it. They weren't shooting threes like that back in the day. But they're shooting them like that now. They're shooting them like that now. Harden, Dame, Kyrie, all these great shooters, Joe Harris, and none of them have done in their careers more than Steph did this week. So he is playing outstanding. But – come on. There is no way. And the media knows this. He won't get double figure votes. I mean, like you said, unless they really move up the standings in massive
fashion.
It'd have to be a heck of a run, too. But right. They'd have to get Rob to about at least the sixth seed, at least. And that's only because a year like this, you know, Giannis isn't going to win. He's missed some games and, you know, his numbers are slightly down and, you know, he's won the last two. Nobody from Brooklyn's going to win it. Nobody from the Lakers is going to win it. Nobody from Utah is going to win it. Jokic is going to win it. Because not only is he putting up tremendous numbers, they're the fourth seed, but Rob, he's played every game. And I actually think it's important. I think I won't vote for a guy that's missed a lot of games just because the precedent's been set that you need to play nearly 80% of the games to be eligible. But Rob, also because of this, the NBA regular season is losing value. You know what I mean? Not just to the fans, but to the players. And one of the ways you can keep it having value is your individual awards, which guys love to win, and they have historical significance. So if you give it to a Joel Embiid who's missed 20 games out of 72 or whatever, that plays into, well, regular season is not that important. You can load manage and still win MVP.
Well, some of your NBA voters or whatever, they want to give LaMelo the rookie of the year, Chris, and he's going to wind up missing.
No, come on.
I mean, two-thirds of the season.
I mean, do you agree with that? Like the best ability is available.
It's supposed to be about the regular season.
Right.
And so it's hard to give somebody who's missed a ton of games a championship. An MVP or rookie of the year, whatever the award is. So the other thing, too, is, you know, it's easy to just say it's everybody else and he's playing. But a lot of guys play through things. And it's just not, you know, if you don't have the team or you don't have all the players, being 500 or under 500 and putting up great stats normally doesn't win you an MVP.
No.
That's all. It doesn't matter. Like, whatever happened.
He could average 45.
Exactly.
Honestly.
And he could. And it still wouldn't be good enough. If I remember, was it Jerry Stackhouse? Did he finish second in the league with the Pistons?
Yes.
Like 1 year.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, like,
he
I don't even
like
think
29,
he was
29, 30 that
yeah,
year.
Yeah, whatever. But it's just not strictly a numbers kind of thing. Winning goes hand in hand. And I think Magic is just a prisoner of the moment, like a lot of guys are. And they like Steph. I get all that, Chris. They like him. It's easy to just, you know, want to romanticize about Steph. And then it was just ironic that, of course, what was that, Saturday when he missed the shot to tie the game, or we could have won the game, right? They lost by – no, yeah, he could have won the game. He pulled up for that long three, right, at the end?
That long, long three.
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you surprised?
But you say he should have made it.
No, he said, I don't know if he should have taken that, like where it was, you know what I mean? But it just – I've
it's
just seen too
many range.
Of those.
Yeah, it's within his range.
It did make it.
The thing is, this is reminiscent, Rob, really, of the Kobe year, 2006, when Kobe averaged 35 points a game, career high, and one of the, you know, the best of all time. And the Lakers finished seventh in the West, which is still better than where the Warriors are. And he didn't win MVP because they were the seventh seed. And that was the year Robbie scored 81.
Think about that, what you just said. He did something that nobody had done since Will Chamberlain, right?
Right.
That many points.
Right.
And he averaged 35, and it still wasn't enough to get him an MVP.
Absolutely.
But so, now here we are. And again, there are a few people out there, Chris. I'm not saying all the NBA writers. Last year, last year LeBron led the league in assists, and it wasn't even close. Like Giannis had, and you talked about it, you're a voter. Giannis had better numbers. He had better numbers than he had the year before.
And they had the best record in the league.
And they had the best record in the league. Who won the MVP?
And he didn't have an Anthony Davis with him.
Right.
You know, or anything close to
that. Playing with one guy, Chris Middleton.
Right. Who's not close to Anthony Davis. So, yeah, the voters, you know, they're solid.
I'm not
going to
rip them until you guys vote LaMelo as Rookie of the Year. Then I'm
my vote will likely go to my man from Minnesota. He's having a nice year, so I got no problem giving it to him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is an absolute legend. His nickname when he played was the Human Highlight Film. He has a statue in front of the Atlanta Hawks arena, and well deserved at that. The Hall of Famer Dominique Wilkins. Neek, what's up, man? Welcome to the Odd Couple.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Man,
we are good, man. We are good. It's great to have you on. And before we get to the Hawks, you've been broadcasting Hawks games for a long time, but we're gonna get to them. But I've got my list of the five greatest game dunkers. Okay, not just dunk contest or anything like that, but game dunkers. And I want to run it by you and get your honest opinion.
Okay.
At number five, I've got Blake Griffin. I had to give the light-skinned brother some love.
Of course. Neek, I got to deal with this every day. You know, Steph's great. Anybody's
Steph is great.
Anybody light-skinned is great. Trey Young, all right, go ahead.
Number four, Michael Jordan. Number three, Dominique Wilkins. Number two, Dr. J. And number one, Vince Carter. Your thoughts?
He hates your list.
I may have a problem with the order.
Yeah.
I might have a problem with the order. But it's a good list. It's a great list. No question about it. It's a great list.
All right.
All right. So there you go, Chris.
I'll leave it at that.
That's props.
That.
I'll take that as love. I'll take that as love.
Yeah.
It's just that people don't dunk anymore, right, Neek?
And all of them better than, I mean, except for Doc. You know, we both over 60.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he's still dunking. I'm sure you're still dunking.
On Fridays. I need a week to warm up.
I hear you.
Neek, what are you we were just talking earlier about Magic Johnson had tweeted something out about Steph should be the MVP. Chris and I look at it as not only do you have to play well, your team needs to win. If the season were to end today, he wouldn't be in the playoffs or in the ninth seed. Where are you on that? How important is winning to somebody being an MVP?
Well, look, you know, Steph is doing his thing. He is having a phenomenal year, probably one of the best years scoring-wise. But, you know, typically an MVP race, it's about guys, teams, not individual, but teams who are winning. Then you have that superstar player, of course, get all the accolades. But, you know, in my opinion, you got to win. You got to have one of the better records in the league.
Well, Neek, speaking of winning, I mean, the Hawks, man, they have been on a tear lately. They've moved all the way up, I believe, from, was it the ninth seed all the way up to the fourth seed? And Nate McMillan has been the reason. You know, they had a coaching change and Nate took over. What has he done differently to get the Hawks playing so well than, you know?
I think it's several things. You know, he brings that old school and new school kind of value to the table, and he brings respect levels. He's won in every organization he's been in. He's had winning records. And I think, too, to get guys to buy into how you like to play, how you like to defend. And then he's a defensive-first coach, and so when you defend, it creates easy offense. And he understands that. I mean, I've always admired Nate McMillan. You know, as a player, we had some great battles, you know. So, but he's a coach. That's plain and simple. He's a guy that understands the game, and he's gotten the guys to buy into really playing with one another, relying and trusting one another, and that's how you win.
Tell us about Trae Young this year. I know you got off to a really good start, and then the team stumbled. They weren't winning, and things have turned around. Tell me what kind of year Trae Young has had for the Hawks, and is he progressing moving forward?
Oh, he's a phenomenal young player. I love Trae Young, the way he plays. What he brings to, I mean, yeah, he's talented, but what he brings is a heart, man. He got a big heart, man. I mean, this guy has no fear, and he loves to compete. And now he's learning really how to play that point guard position even more. He's getting his teammates involved. You look at a guy like Bogdanović that's playing, Gallinari, John Collins, Capella. I said to our GM, I said, I don't know if I ever seen a team, you know, in a long time that gets as many dunks as we get. And that's because of the way Trae Young sets some guys up to be successful. Plain and simple, you know. He's a great little point guard.
Neek, you were one of the greatest scorers really in the history of the league. And you're one of the great Hall of Famers during your era, like a Charles Barkley, a Patrick Ewing, John Stockton and Karl Malone, Reggie Miller, one of those all-time greats that never won a ring. But had you had a mentality like some of these guys today, you could have went and teamed up with a Magic Johnson, an Isaiah, you know, of these guys.
I could have went to a lot of teams when I was becoming a free agent, but my objective, main objective, I wanted to win for Atlanta. I wanted to win for this team. This is a city that embraced me, a city that's made me their native son. So I wanted to do everything I could to win here. And if I didn't win a championship, hey, I could live with that. But, you know, it didn't. I had nothing to be ashamed of, to hold my head down. But you look at all those guys. You look at Stockton Malone. Great, great players. Same situation. I was just one, maybe two players away from winning. Because if I didn't get 30 at night, it was hard for us to win.
You know, right.
As simple as that.
How do you think about the moving around today? Does it bother you at all? Do you think it waters the game down or what?
Well, you know what? It doesn't have as much parity run the league when you do that. Because I think what happens is, and I always believe in this, you know, Michael Jordan and I talked about this many times. The only way you measure your greatness, you play against the greatest player. That's from what I believe. But you know, it's different time, different era. Everybody, you know, they do things the way they do it. You know, it's a new time, and you know, it's a new era, and guys have a new focus. So, you know, I don't look down on that. I'm just explaining how we do things.
But Dominique, I agree with you. I call it the AAU mentality, where the three or four best players in the AAU circuit from a, you know, play on the same team, and then they beat nobody. Right, and then they think they proclaim they're the best. We're, you know, we were undefeated. The competition does matter, doesn't it? It just does.
It does matter. Oh, absolutely, it absolutely matters. And I think what happens is, you know, when you AAU, basically, for many many years, it taught individualism instead of team concept, and so guys right. lost too many games to worry about winning or losing because it's on to the next game.
Yeah, that hit it on the head. Neek, we're closing, but you've been broadcasting Hawks games for a while, doing a great job there. I know you're vice president of basketball and you consult special advisor to the CEO, but have you ever had or do you still maybe have any aspirations to coach or even to get more, you know, like build a team? More so than kind of advise or consult, like be a more hands-on front office guy. Have you ever had those aspirations or maybe still have them?
I think most guys in my situation who's, you know, been those kind of iconic type of players, their aspirations is to be a part of something bigger than themselves. I mean, who wouldn't? And any guy tell you he wouldn't want that is not telling you the truth. So I would love to be in those and explore some of those situations, no question, you know. But this, you know, this city here for me in Atlanta has been so great as far as how I've been received in the city. Of course, yeah, I'd love to be a part of that.
Well, hopefully it can work out for you, man, because the Hawks got a little something special going, and I'm sure they could use your expertise and knowledge in building that thing, because they got a lot of nice young players. But they obviously still need to build to get to that championship level that the city hadn't seen. So hopefully that'll work out for you, man.
And you know, we're building that. We're building that type of personality and culture here. You know, like I said, our ownership, Tony Russell and our group here has done an amazing job, outstanding job of putting the right pieces together. And you're still building, you know. You know, you still got work to do, but, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Let me ask you this, unless Rob has a question. Can Trae Young become – I hate to compare him, but can he become that Steph Curry-type player that can lead this team to championships?
I think he can, but I think he has to be Trae Young. He don't have to be anybody else. He just do it in different ways. Do they have the same type of impact? Absolutely. But you do it your way, not the way somebody else does it. And I think you're going to see this kid become a major leader in our franchise.
All right. That is Neek. The great Dominique Wilkins. Man, we appreciate the knowledge, Neek.
Thank you,
brother.
No problem.
Hey, all right, man. My man.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Appreciate it. Peace.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every day I'm hustling.
He's an NBA champion because he hustled. He's a Pelicans color analyst because he hustled. He's a Sirius XM NBA radio host because he hustles. It's our man Antonio Daniels. What's up, brother?
Hey. What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We are good. Now, be honest. There's no radio show in the nation that gives you this type of introduction.
You are 100% correct. You are correct.
Nah, man,
and
it's good to have you on.
It's appreciated,
yes,
fella.
It's great to have you on, as always. Now, look, let's get to the elephant in the room, my man. I know you weren't happy seeing Zion being all giddy He was about he playing was in New York. That's oh my right. gosh! And I don't want to make too much out of it, but come on, man, they can't be happy. They can't be happy in the front offices.
Yes, we are. We want to know what he was talking about and how you feel. People in New Orleans can't be happy.
I'm gonna be honest with you. People in New Orleans weren't tripping. They weren't tripping about the comments. Like this ain't gonna be a discussion for about 7 years. Come on now, y'all know better than this. Y'all know better. It's like
I would be shocked if he don't sign the rookie extension. I'll give you that because no players turned it down. No star.
Right. Okay. I'll give you this as well. Now let's be honest. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna take shots at New York because I love New York too. I love Madison Square Garden.
Yes, but we do.
The question that I would ask you guys, how many stars have you heard say this?
Oh, I'm with you. I've heard 178.
Exactly.
No, but I'm with you.
But
the only problem.
Like,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to say, but the only problem here is we're in a different NBA. You've seen guys already. Anthony Davis was stolen from New Orleans. The idea that players want to move around, want to do their things. And I know Chris just said it. Nobody's ever turned it down. Not yet. And the way I've seen guys turn down, void out millions of dollars in contracts because they want to get out of a place or do something, which is very weird. That's the only reason why I think there should be a bit of a concern. And the team's not doing that well. So I think that there is a possibility something could happen.
Okay, so here's my thing. And why are we having this discussion right now? Do you know how many games Giannis played?
Well, we're having it because he looked like he was a 6-year-old on Christmas morning.
Right?
No. No, but here's the thing, fellas. This conversation has been going on for a while. It didn't start last night. The only reason it happened yesterday is because the Pelicans actually played at Madison Square Garden. This conversation has been going on for quite some time. I have been on numerous platforms addressing this same exact thing. Zion hasn't even played a full NBA season yet. He played 76 total games. And what we're talking about is, oh, well, I think he wants to go play here. You know, my issue with I won't even say national media, but we have a problem, and I don't understand why, of a star developing and staying in a small market. We do anything in our power to try and talk that guy out of that market. No matter what. No matter what the situation is, we try and talk that guy out of the small market.
I hate it. I love what Giannis did.
You're doing it, though. You guys are doing the same exact thing. So don't say you hate it when you're
No, we're just addressing it. I mean, it was an issue. It was a story.
Okay. Right, and I'll say this.
But the thing is, when you
I'm with you. I don't think it'll happen. I think he'll take that first rookie deal. You know, that extension.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that. Right.
But it's interesting because when we talk about Zion and his star power and what would he get? So I'm going to ask you guys the same question I've asked on different platforms. Think about the Pelicans this year, right? They were second in the NBA in national TV games, one game behind the Lakers, right? They were tied with a couple other teams. He has an endorsement deal with Jordan. He has an endorsement deal with Gatorade. He has an endorsement deal with 2K. So what can a big market offer him that he's not receiving right now?
Well, we'll wait for the summer when he goes home for the playoffs. And then I'm just saying, I hear
but
what you're saying.
What
no,
we're
I
talking about. But the Knicks are having a great year this year. They're having a great but the Knicks have not been to the playoffs every year over the past 10 years or so.
I get
Antonio, and I get what you're saying. Times have changed. Look, Oklahoma City was all the rage when they had their great
had
players.
All three
so
of them.
We get you're right,
right
with social media and all that. You don't need to be in a big market. But you also know
the same thing about Russell Westbrook.
Right, and he stayed. So, but you also know New York is different. It still is different.
For sure.
Like everything is magnified, and Zion will be a super duper star in New Orleans. But if he went to New York, and I'm with you. I don't think he'll go. But if he went, it would be bigger. It just is the biggest city in the country. And everything is magnified to the to good or bad. If he
good
goes there
bad, right,
and doesn't win,
right,
it'll be worse.
Right.
So
let me ask you this though. Let me say this.
Okay.
If you're a player and you already know this, you could say, "Hey, I've always heard of Madison Square Garden and all that." I'm not saying, but he did, you know, pour it on a little thick. Is it just something that he should have probably kept to himself? To not even make it so that fans could look at him that way or sideways and think, oh, here we go again. We lost Anthony Davis, and now we're going to lose him.
No, that's not Zion. The one thing I've told you guys about Zion from day one is he's incredibly honest and humble. Like, he didn't say that yesterday with ill intentions, by no stretch of the imagination. And the thing as an athlete that you can't control is message received. You know, your heart can be in the right place, but the way that message is received may come off different. Right. You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable being in a situation like the Pelicans were yesterday in New York and asking Zion, you know what, if they ask you anything about Madison Square Garden, don't say anything. No, you have to allow these young men to be themselves. If you feel a certain way, it's okay to say exactly how you feel. That's okay. It doesn't mean that
funny.
Message delivered was the message received.
We just talked about Trevor Lawrence. The football people are up in arms because he won't say that he eats, sleeps, and breathes football and that he has another life other than football, and he's talked down to. You know what I mean? Which we don't agree with, and I think it's wrong. But what you're saying is exactly what we just said. I don't have an issue. I don't want to muzzle the guy.
People hold athletes to standard. They don't practice themselves.
Absolutely.
Everybody else feels the
Absolutely.
Same way as Trevor Lawrence does. Everybody right. else feels the same way. That if you poll guys in the league, you know how many guys love to play in Madison Square Garden? I was never a star. Nothing close to it. I love Madison Square Garden because of the history. Because
right.
of the way that it's set up, the
celebrities
stage.
In the front rows,
and the stage
also,
with the lights are out in the house,
right?
And the lights are only on the court, like a Broadway show.
Nowhere else does that. And there's nothing wrong with giving credit to places like Madison Square Garden. Just because I say I like playing there doesn't mean that I'm planning on continuing my basketball career there.
I hear you, man. All right, I want to ask you something about Zion's game. And obviously they got him handling the ball a lot more as a point guard, bringing it up court. And you know this, AD, you played the position. He can handle the ball really nicely. He can pass it fairly well. But you know as well as he's not a point guard. What are their plans with this? Because you see it a lot of places, Paul George, Kawhi even. LeBron kind of started it, but LeBron's got more court vision than your typical, you know, small forward. But a lot of teams, like, they have a guy handling the ball that's not really a point guard, and it can hurt the team because he just doesn't have those instincts. And Zion's great. He's coming downhill. You can't stop him. But what are their plans? And do you like – I mean, should they be having him almost play it exclusively? Or do you – like, what do you think – where do you think this is going?
Well, the thing is, he's not playing it exclusively. And this
right.
is one of the things that I love about what Stan Van Gundy's vision is. It's not just about putting Zion at the point. They're moving him all over the place. So sometimes he initiates the offense when it's a dead ball situation. When it's a fast break situation, they're outletting the ball to Kyra Lewis and Lonzo Ball and allowing Zion to finish the break. Other half-court situations, he's the screener. Other half-court situations, he's in the dunker spot and finishing. So that's what I like about what they're doing. They're not just leaving him at one position. They're moving him all around and forcing schemes to kind of find where he is. I don't have an issue with it because it's not like they're just putting the ball in his hands at all times.
Right.
It's not a LeBron James situation. It's not a Paul George situation, you know, where he's
– Do you think it'll get to that? Because I'm with you. I like them moving him around, and I think that's an aspect that they should use – him bringing it up, but do you think it's going to get to more of a LeBron situation or not?
I'm going to tell you the difference. Is Zion's skill set as opposed to theirs. LeBron James is one of the most cerebral and skilled players we've ever seen. Zion's ability around that rim to catch and finish, to initiate, take contact, and make tough layups, you can't remove that part from him.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't remove that aspect from his game. Now, one of the best things he's fantastic at is his skill set and finding his teammates and passing, but he has another side to his game. So I think it becomes a balance of when to put the ball in his hands, when to take the ball out of his hands, when to let him finish, when to let Lonzo handle, when to let B.I. handle. And this is what's hurting this team this year. You have a condensed season. You don't have practice time. So all the things that we're talking about right now, they don't get a chance to practice. So as Coach Van Gundy said, their practice time a lot of times is during the game, which is really hurting this team.
AD, great stuff, man. We
always
appreciate it. Got
thank
a little
you.
Testy with Zion. We understand, right, though. You down there in New Orleans.
Never that. Never that.
All right, my man. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, brother.
All right. Appreciate it, brother. Hey.